You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
And I'm Kevin Robson.
Hey.
Hey.
We got a trio in the studio today for our Mercy Stories. And Kevin, always great to have you along for the series. It's just been fantastic.
And it's always a privilege to talk with you, Andy and Sarah, and the great listeners at KFUO.
We are going to head west for today's story and talk about wellness. We'd like to talk about wellness on the Coffee Hour quite a bit. Thanks to Concordia University Wisconsin for supporting the Coffee Hour. Find out more about Concordia University Wisconsin at cuw.edu.
Live uncommon.
Joining us today, another Kevin, the Reverend Kevin Biltman, Executive Director for Shepherd's Canyon. Pastor Biltman, welcome to the Coffee Hour.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Well, I'm looking forward to learning about the work of Shepherd's Canyon. Maybe you could give us a history of Shepherd's Canyon, where it began, and bring us up to where Shepherd's Canyon is today.
Oh, sure. I mean, basically, it started 15 years ago. Dave Anderson is a son of a pastor who was burned out, and it was always his vision for years to make this work and to have a place like this. And there's only a few of these places like this that I know of in the United States, about five. And so we started off having places from all over the country in Florida and North Dakota and stuff like that, renting places. And then we finally got a facility about 10 years ago or so. And that's our place in Arizona. And fortunately or unfortunately, we've been growing fast the last couple of years. So we're starting to look at maybe even going to other places again, either renting or even purchasing a second site. So we'll see. So that's kind of where we're at right now. But I guess I've been on staff 2 years ago. A year ago, they made me the executive director. So, yeah.
So, Kevin, tell us a little bit about what Shepherd's Canyon actually is, what it does.
Sure. Well, and when you say it slow like that, it makes me think of, you know, a shepherd, like a pastor or someone in ministry who is in a canyon. And so it's kind of like a thing here. So basically what we do is we have church workers of all kinds, whether it's, you know, pastors or missionaries or chaplains or DCEs or school teachers, principals, deaconesses, camp ministry leaders, all kinds of people who find themselves in different situations, whether it's stress or burnout or compassion fatigue. Maybe they have conflict with staff or church members, or they don't know how to take a day off, or they have challenges in their marriages, or they're dealing with grief. You know, we've dealt with that here too. Or they're simply just preparing for a sabbatical, or they're in the midst of a sabbatical. So a lot of reasons. So what it is, and to answer your question finally after all that, is it is a week-long counseling retreat. Okay, so pastors and ministry leaders and spouses, we encourage spouses to come with. They come for a full 7-8-day week retreat. And we have two therapists and a chaplain. And we only take 8 at a time because you don't want to be sharing your burdens with the big crowd of people. So it's very customized and personal with just those 8 participants plus the 2 therapists and a chaplain.
So you're actually working in a cohort type of setting with other peers, other church work peers who are perhaps suffering similar, maybe different issues, but it's a place to really be able, an intimate place to share with fellow workers who could get it.
Absolutely. Because it's not just private counseling that they're getting. They're getting group therapy because, you know, you share your stories with other people who are like, oh, that's like me, or here, I have an idea to help you. Or, you know, so they're helping each other and praying for each other in the group as they sort of grow in that cohort. I like that the way you said cohort. That's
how does that group setting add value to what happens at Shepherd's Canyon? I mean, a lot of times when we think of retreats, we think of, I'm going to go to a place and spend some time on my own and maybe talk to one or two people. But I love this idea of a cohort, of bringing together a small group of people who are maybe able to build those relationships while they're there. What is that value of having small groups intentionally together during that time?
Yeah. Well, one value of it is that they will sometimes continue that relationship beyond the retreat. So they'll, continue. I mean, I know people that have been communicating back and forth for years, ever since their retreat. So in the mornings is those group sessions. In the afternoons is individual sessions. And whether that's by themselves or in a couple if they're married or whatever, just a different combinations of stuff. And then the evenings is free time. And then there's a day off in there too. So you kind of process for a while and halfway through take a break, kind of get, you know, go out and enjoy, you know, the area here in Arizona and Wickenburg or whatever. So that's.
What's been the response of pastors and other church workers who have participated in a retreat like this? Especially thinking about, you use the word therapy, there's counseling. Mm-hmm. Some might be reluctant to participate. Mm-hmm. I know we talked about it on Mental Health Mondays a lot here, and the importance and the value of mental health therapy or mental health counseling and finding professional therapists to help us work through those things. What's been the response of those who have participated and the value they place on professional support like that?
Right. Well, that's the thing. There's a couple ways of answering the question. One is that if one of your listeners is someone who is just, you know, freaked out by the whole notion of therapy or counseling, you would go to a doctor if you were physically had health problems. And there are churches that say, no, you shouldn't go to a doctor because you should just pray harder and God will heal you. Okay, those are not necessarily Christian, you know, groups, but then, you know, spiritual and emotional health is important as well. Yeah, no, there's a lot of different things that go on with that. We have people that, well, one thing too is that people are like, well, okay, so I believe in counseling. Why can't my pastor just go to a counselor, you know, and see them for an hour a week? And that is great. We encourage that, but this is sort of like, you know, if you need surgery, you don't just go to a doctor for 1 hour a week for surgery. You kind of have to do it all at one time. Mm-hmm. And so Shepherd's Canyon Retreat is sort of like people have said it's sort of like 20 weeks of counseling. Okay. So if your church or ministry can send someone here and get 20 weeks worth of counseling in the space of 1 week, wow, that puts you so far ahead. And then now, of course, after surgery, you're not done. You still need therapy, physical therapy, whatever you're. After you come here, this just begins the healing process, and you can continue that with someone locally. We don't follow up and follow through people, that the follow-up has to be local. Yeah.
So Kevin, one of the pillars of the mission and ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is the expression of mercy, the delivery of mercy to those who are in need. And I think sometimes we might fall into the trap of thinking that that's always sort of an outward thing, right? It's the church pushing out it, mercy out into the world to maybe unbelievers or those who aren't even part of our own church body. Tell us why it's so important that we think about mercy directed towards our own, and in particular, the ministry with Shepherd's Canyon is pointed in some ways inward at, and when you think of it that way, at our own church workers.
Why is that
so important to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod?
Yeah. Well, one way I'll answer the question is that, and by the way, we do get people that come here from like from other church, like Lutheran denominations over here. We had a guy come from England, and question he brought to us, he said, spending the week here, he's like, you know, who tows the tow truck? You know, it's like our pastors and ministry leaders are people that are, you know, towing all these other cars, all these other people there, you know, but who tows the tow trucks? And of course, you know, I mean, it's hard because you can't, as a pastor, you know, you can't go, sometimes you can't go talk to your fellow pastors because sometimes you want to keep up this facade of everything's great, everything's going fine. Yes, so your church is doing great too, but secretly, you know, they're inside, they're just hurting. And because what other church or what other job can you go to where you have what seems to be 100 different bosses all telling you conflicting things? You know, you've got, you know, someone says, hey, the organ's too loud, the band's too quiet, or hey, your sermon's too long. No, your sermon's too short. And, you know, how do you resolve that? And so, yeah, it's just a tough thing. I don't think I really answered your question, but I'm getting close, I think.
Yes.
Well, and digging even further into that, what is the need for focusing on wellness, giving attention to wellness to our church workers, for our church workers, especially in the cultural context that we have going on today?
Absolutely. I mean, well, see, there's two things that Shepherd's Canyon Retreat helps with. One is helping pastors and other ministry workers stay in ministry. And the other is helping recruit people for ministry. And I'll explain that here. For one, like over 3 years ago, I was ready to call it quits. I was burned out. I was ready to get a job where they where I greet people at the door and say, welcome tomorrow to Walmart, because I was just done. And I went to Shepherd's Canyon Retreat, and that's how I began my healing process of becoming, getting past that. So for me, it helped me stay in ministry because I was ready just to go and do something else. The second thing that I mentioned was it helps in recruiting future church workers. So how does that work? Well, when I was burned out, I was angry at everybody. I was angry at God even. And what teenager wants to look at his pastor, his angry pastor, and go, gee, I want to be just like him when I grow up. And so having healthy pastors and church workers is a real blessing in the whole recruitment process for people to hear their call in the ministry.
We're in our Mercy Stories series. Our guest today, the Reverend Kevin Biltman, Executive Director of Shepherd's Canyon. We're learning about caring for church workers. We'll continue the conversation in just a moment right here on The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
And I'm Kevin Robson.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason, to use your God-given gifts to help others, to live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world, to live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50-plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
And I'm Kevin Robson.
We're in our Mercy Story series. Today we are at Shepherd's Canyon with the Reverend Kevin Biltman, Executive Director. Well, we're not really there. We're talking to him online.
I wish we were there.
Because it sounds like a fabulous place to have a retreat and to be refreshed. Let's zero in on, what are the ways that church workers may experience exhaustion or fatigue or burnout? You talked about your own experience with that earlier, Pastor Biltman. What are the ways that church workers, especially pastors, might experience burnout or fatigue or exhaustion?
Well, probably the one that most people end up, what they call burnout, and a lot of times and ends up being compassion fatigue. And that's because we care so much for someone else that we forget to care for ourselves. You know, it's sort of the whole put the mask on yourself before you help your children kind of a thing here. And, you know, and this is something that they actually train in prevention for healthcare workers who work in emergency rooms. Because, you know, you're dealing with all these stressful things. Okay, you got a guy over here dying. You got a person over here having a baby. You got a person over here who's lost their leg. You know, who do you deal with first? It's this triage. And in the church, and I'm just going to mention pastor, there's all kinds of church workers, but, you know, as a pastor, you may have a funeral coming up, but then you've got someone who's dying in the hospital, or someone who has a deep theological question that, you know, really deep. And so how do you triage that? How do you deal with that? And so it's not so much, you know, that you're just working too hard sometimes. That would be called burnout. But compassion fatigue goes a little deeper than that, where you are stressed out because you've got all these expectations, some of them that you place on yourself, some of them placed on by others, some of them just, you know, placed on you by, you know, the nature of your call. So yeah, it's a challenge. It's a challenge for sure.
And speaking of that challenge, Kevin, and I know this from being in the parish for years too, and even talking about this with my peers in the ministerium, it is a challenge just to get yourself to the point where you say, I need some help here, and to admit that and get past the guilt of, well, what kind of example am I setting to the flock when I say I need to go off and receive some care? Maybe I'm not reading God's word enough, or I'm not receiving God's gifts in a way that is effective even personally with me, the nervous nature, that the idea that we could be invincible supermen, you know, that we should be as pastors or church workers, we should just have so much, be so rooted in the, immersed in the word that we're invincible. How does a congregation member help their church worker, their pastor, or their DCE, or their deaconess, or the teacher, help them get to the place where they can say, you know what, it's okay, you really do need to get some, how in your mind would that best happen at the congregational level, that somebody comes to the place where they say, I should go to Shepherd's Canyon?
Yeah. Well, I think one thing is that it's very important that church members recognize it and encourage them. I spoke at a men's retreat in Indiana a couple of months ago here, and I was kind of thinking at first, like, oh, why am I here? There's very few pastors here. It's all lay people, and can't even tell if they're rich or not today, you know, that they would be donors for our ministry here. But after speaking to this group of men, it dawned on me that here's all these pastors calling out for us, say, hey, my elder or my member went to your talk about caring for, you know, church workers. And they said that they want to help me pay, you know, pay my way to go to Shepherd's Community Retreat. And so it's just been a shift in my thinking that I used to think that I only need to talk to pastors and church workers and talk to rich people to donate money. But here, all these lay people were just so concerned. So how do you get, some of the things that I said in that workshop was just to help them to think about the different parts of, you know, there's your, you know, the emotional side, the physical side. You know, when you talk to your pastor, do you just talk about church, or do you ever ask about their life? You know, take them out to eat. You know, there's a whole workshop that I want to do with districts about how to prevent or how to help your church worker, you know, and all that. But I think I steered away from your question a little bit here. Me back on again.
I think you got it, Kevin. You know, I think that this is an example of where, you know, an elder in the elders in the congregation in particular can ask the very question that's a great question, is actually asking pastor or deaconess, what's going on with you? How are things going? Not at the church personally. Tell me about what's going on in the family. Is everything okay? It's that kind of communication that breeds the honesty, the trust, the accountability to say, you might benefit from some help.
Yeah, for sure.
Why does the well-being of our church workers matter for our congregations? You mentioned one thing just about, you know, recruiting church workers, that if young people are seeing that church workers are always burned out and angry and just not having a good time, like that's simply not great for recruitment. But I'm sure it goes beyond that. The well-being of these people who are serving the church in this way, why is that so important for the health of the congregation?
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, I'll answer that by talking about sabbatical. Most places will encourage a sabbatical where every 7 years, give your pastor 3 months off. And it's not a sabbatical where they go write a book or go do deep theological studies, unless they want to. That energizes them. That's great. And it's not a 3-month day vacation. It's doing things that helps bring energy, because if it's done well, and I know LCEF does a good job on their website of talking about sabbaticals, but that's a really good thing, because churches will think, oh, well, we can't survive for 3 months without our pastor. But what they don't realize is that when you have a healthy pastor, and so what if they go away for 3 months, they come back and with so much more energy and life, and because they've been recharged. It's a way to recharge your battery. So it's not just to help the pastor themselves to be a more likable guy or whatever here, but it is to help the church. I had a call last week from an elder and his wife who are like, we love our pastor. He's been our pastor for 10 years. But the last 3 months, he's been yelling at us from the pulpit. And just a few days ago, he confided us that he's just burned out. Can you help? And so, so we're working on that, getting them involved. And when I first became director, we had a pastor who contacted us and said, hey, I'm just like a zombie. I'm walking around, but I'm barely alive. I'm not even sure if I believe in God anymore. I'm like, oh my goodness. And so he came to our retreat, and at the end of the retreat, he said, like, this is the best week of my life. Thank you so much for what God has done through this retreat, through you guys. So, you know, so there's a lot of things. And so, as a matter of fact, his wife didn't come that time. And she said later, she's like, who's this guy you sent back? He's not the same guy I sent to you. And she's like, I work for a marketing company here. I want to do marketing for you guys for free, because this is such a blessing to us. So, you know, just God works in many wonderful ways. And, you know, there's nothing that we're doing to make the gospel more, you know, more exciting, more real. But I think there's things that people can do to interfere with this. When you're up there and you're burned out and angry, yelling at your members, complaining to them about how bad people they are, that's getting in the way of the gospel. You know, we can't add to the gospel, but we could certainly keep that bad stuff from getting in the way.
Certainly showing mercy to church workers is very valuable. And one of the chief things that Shepherd's Canyon does, and you mentioned also recruiting and encouraging people to consider church work, much like the Set Apart to Serve series that we have as well. And I understand you've also had some retreats for parents as well. With just a couple of minutes, tell us a little bit about how you're supporting parents through Shepherd's Canyon.
Yeah, well, this is a new pilot program that we started last year. And we basically looked at it here for parents whose children have different views or beliefs about God's design for sexuality. And pilot program, I was skeptical at first, but it was very well received by the participants. I talked to them, and Dr. Rockenbach was part of that retreat. And one of the things I really like what he says is that when kids come out of the closet, the parents go into the closet. And that's the challenge that we face these days, is that we have parents that don't know what to do. It's like, I raised my children right, but now they're going against what I believe. And so it's, how do you deal with that whole thing here? And so it's just something new, to trying it out. And yeah, so it's just one of a lot of things here. Yeah.
Very good. So that's the Created Male and Female Retreat for Parents and Supporting the Vocation of Parents. How can we follow the work of Shepherd's Canyon and stay informed on what's being offered at Shepherd's Canyon? Maybe how to connect our pastor, other church workers, with a retreat there?
Absolutely. The best way is just to go to our website, shepherdscanyonretreat.org. And if you know how to spell shepherd, some people spell that wrong, but shepherdscanyonretreat.org, and scroll down to the bottom of the page and be added to our email list. I promise I won't send you more than maybe one email a month, and you can just kind of get updates on what's going on and all that. So that'd be a great way to stay up to date.
Kevin, as I listen to you and as we draw this time together to a close, I can't help but hear a great deal of gratitude and fulfillment in your voice, in the way in which you talk about the ministry at Shepherd's Canyon. Can you tell us maybe what causes you joy? You got to get out of bed every morning and get to work in that ministry. But I sort of am suspecting that a lot of this is causing you a great deal of joy in your vocation. Tell us about that.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. I mean, the thing is, what gives me joy is knowing that that the responsibility of the success or failure of this ministry is not on my shoulders. In the past, I would just sort of, that whole Superman thing you talked about at the beginning here, that was me. I would just thought, hey, God's given me all these gifts. I got to go out and use them for him, use them. And, thinking that God needed me more than I needed him. How arrogant is that to think that way? And that's the way I was. It was just like, God's the one doing all the work. And that's what I told him. This minute, I said, okay, God, I've learned my lesson, humble yourself, you'll be humbled. And so God, you're in charge. You're in charge. And so I could rest knowing that he's got it. He's got it. It's just like the father who has the little child in his lap and they're driving, driving down the road, their driveway. The little kid thinks he's steering the steering wheel. It's like, no, the father's hanging on. He's going to make sure he's not going to run into the ditch, but the little kid thinks he's doing it all. It's not the way it is. But that's what brings me joy, is just knowing that I have a savior, a God who's greater than my ego used to be. So that's great.
God's mercy for God's servants. Our guest today, the Reverend Kevin Biltman, Executive Director at Shepherd's Canyon. You can learn more at shepherdscanyonretreat.org. Pastor Biltman, thank you so much for being our guest on the Coffee Hour.
Absolutely.
You've been listening to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
And I'm Kevin Robson.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO, Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.